الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we read today the lines of poetry that Ibn Abul Izz Al-Hanafi رحمه الله تعالى he mentioned in his Urjuza Al-Mi'iyya في ذكر حال أشرف البرية in his 100 lines of poetry about the summarized details and events of the best of all mankind and the most noble of all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the great and the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have seen that the events that we have been discussing are from the Meccan period. Al-Hawadith al-Makkiyya. And likewise, we have seen that if we look into the details of this period, the Meccan period, and what is intended by the Meccan period is the events and the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before migrating to Al-Madinah, Qabla al-Hijra. Qabla al-Hijra, all of these events here, these Hawadith, they're called Al-Hawadith al-Makkiyya. And likewise, all of the Qur'an that was revealed in this period as well is known as Al-Ayat al-Suwar al-Makkiyya. Al-Makkiyya. Not referring to that which occurred or was revealed in Mecca, but rather referring to the period of time before Al-Hijra. Before Al-Hijra. This is known as the Ayat and the chapters, the Ayat and the Suwar. And also likewise the hawadith, the events that are al-makkiyya, meaning they occurred before hijra. As for the hawadith and the events, and likewise the ayat and the suwar, the verses and the chapters of the Quran as well that were revealed after hijra, and the events that occurred after hijra, then these are known as al-madaniyya, al-ayat al-madaniyya, or al-suwar al-madaniyya, or al-hawadith Al-Madaniyya. These are the events. These are the verses and the chapters, and likewise the events in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that occurred after Al-Hijra. After Al-Hijra. So these are two major periods with regards to the revelation of the Quran, and likewise with regards to the events and the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Makkiyya wal-Madaniyya. Al-Makkiyya wal-Madaniyya. So not every verse or event that is considered Makkiyya occurred in Mecca. And not every verse that was revealed or event in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is considered Madaniyya occurred in Al-Madinah. We understand this. It's not about the place, rather it's about the time. So likewise with regards to Al-Hawadith al-Makkiyya, the events that occurred in Mecca, there are those events that occurred qabla al-bi'tha, and there are those events that occurred ba'da al-bi'tha. The events that occurred qabla, before al-bi'tha, before the coming of prophethood, and we have discussed those affairs, and the author, he mentioned 11 points, 11 events that occurred beginning with the birth of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and ending with the event that occurred whenever the house of Allah began to deteriorate because of a great flood that had come, and his people sallallahu alayhi wasallam had decided to reveal the Kaaba, and the dispute that occurred at this time. Those 11 events ended with that issue there, which the author, he mentioned, was in the 35th year, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached the age of 35. And this has been clarified in Al-Mustadrak by Al-Hakim, with a chain that is good, from the Haditha Abi Tufail, Amir ibn Wathira, radiallahu anhu, that he said, كان بين بنيان الكعبة وبين ما أنزل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خمس سنين. There were 5 years between the rebuilding of the Kaaba and the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation. So There's 5 years between that, and it's established without doubt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received revelation at the age of 40, at the head of 40 years. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received revelation. And this is what we discuss now. And so now the timeline moves to Al-Ahd al-Makki ba'd al-Bi'tha, the Meccan period after the coming of prophethood. And now the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he will mention a number of events that occurred in this period, time after time. So we read these lines of poetry that he has mentioned, and he says, وَبَعْدَ عَامِ أَرْبَعِينَ أُرْسِلَ فِي يَوْمِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَقِينًا فَانْقُلَ فِي رَمَضَانَ أَوْ رَبِيِّ الْأَوَّلِ وَسُورَةُ قُرَأْ أَوَّلُ الْمُنَزَّلِ ثُمَّ الْوُضُوَ وَالصَّلَاةَ عَلَّمَهُ جِبْرِيلُ وَهِيَ رَكَّتَانِ مُحْكَمَهُ ثم مضت 20 يوما كاملة فرامت الجن نجوم هائلة ثم داء في أربع الأعوام بالأمر جهرة إلى الإسلام ثم داء في أربع الأعوام بالأمر جهرة إلى الإسلام. So this is with regards to the beginning of prophethood and messengership and the start of the revelation that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, and these events they continue until the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to call the people publicly, and he began to openly invite and call the people to believe in him and to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the translation of these lines is as follows: and after the age of 40, he was sent as a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a Monday, certainly, therefore transmitted in the month of Ramadan or Rabi' al-Awwal, and the surah Iqra was the first to be revealed. Then the wudu and the salat was taught to him by Jibreel, and it was 2 units of prayer precisely. Then after 20 full days had passed, the jinn were pelted by large frightening stones. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called in the 4th year by the command openly to al-Islam. Openly to al-Islam. So the author, he says, وَبَعْدَ عَامِ أَرْبَعِينَ أُرْسِلَ فِي يَوْمِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَقِينًا فَانْقُلَ. That after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached 40 years of age, أُرْسِلَ, meaning he received revelation and he was sent with prophethood and messengership, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi yawm al-ithnayni yaqeenan fanqula. And this was on the day of al-ithnayn, which is in accordance to yawm al-ithnayn, is in accordance to Monday, is in accordance to Monday. Naam, he says it was on yawm al-ithnayn, yani Monday, yaqeenan, certainly, there's no doubt about that, fanqula. So therefore transmit and convey that and relay it to the people and let them know without having any doubts with regards to that. It has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said, Bu'itha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li 40 sana. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent as a prophet at the head of 40 years. فَمَكَثَ بِمَكَّةَ 13 sana. And he remained as a prophet, calling the people to al-Islam, calling them to Tawheed, and warning them from shirk. He remained in Mecca for 13 years. Yuha ilayhi, revelation is coming to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained in Mecca for 13 years while the revelation is coming to him. Thumma umira bil hijrati fa hajara 10 sinin wa mata wa huwa ibnu 63. And then after that, meaning after those 13 years receiving revelation in Mecca, calling the people to Tawheed and warning them from shirk, after those 13 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordered with hijrah. He was ordered to migrate to Al-Madinah, and therefore he migrated. And in Medina, he remained for 10 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he died while he was 63 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this noble narration, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is giving us some very beneficial information with regards to the general life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That it was not until the age of 40 that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation. So all prior to that is just as has been mentioned. But at the age of 40, now revelation began. And Jibreel, he came to him, alayhi salam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyana أفضل الصلاة وتم السلام. And at this time, the revelation began. And it continued in Mecca. And it continued in Mecca for 13 years. For 13 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Mecca calling the people to Tawheed and calling them to leave off shirk and to warn them from worshipping the false idols and attaching their hearts with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance to anything other than Allah, and that is all falsehood and not allowed. It is a bad way and it's not good. And the good way, and that which is the greatest obligation, is to love and to worship Allah alone and to obey Him and to believe in Him and put your faith and trust in Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's the true God who's worthy of worship. And He is the one who has the authority and the command alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, He should be worshipped alone, tabaraka wa ta'ala. 13 years the Messenger is calling in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, he's ordered to make hijrah. After 13 years. At this time, how old would he be? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? 53, 40 plus 13, 53. And then he would remain in Al-Madinah after that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling the people to At-Tawheed and to Al-Islam, and clarifying the deen and the legislation and the pillars of faith and the pillars of Al-Islam and the halal and the haram and the good and noble path, and warning them from falsehood and all of the evil ways and all of the affairs that are impermissible and not allowed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proceeded upon this way for 10 years until the revelation was finalized and the legislation was completed and perfected, and the bounty and the favor of Allah upon his slaves had been perfected. So at this time, after that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. So therefore, that's 10 years after the 13 years, after the 40, which is how many years? 63. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died whenever he was 63. So this narration is clarifying these affairs here. As for the issue, the author, he's mentioning, في يوم الاثنين يقين فانقولا. On the day of Al-Ithnain, on Monday, was certainty, then you must transmit and relay that and convey it to mankind without any doubt. Then this has proceeded, and that was from the narration of Abi Qatadata Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Imam Muslim. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'ila an sawmi yawm al-Ithnain, he was asked about fasting on the day of Al-Ithnain. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذَكَ يَوْمٌ وُلِدْتُ فِيهِ وَيَوْمٌ بُعِثْتُ أَوْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ. That is the day that I was born. And likewise, that is the day that I was sent as a messenger, or the revelation was revealed to me. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was born on Yawm al-Ithnain, as has proceeded without doubt. And likewise, the beginning of the revelation began on Yawm al-Ithnain without doubt. And then after this, the author, he says, في رمضان أو ربيع الأول وسورة تقرأ أول المنزلين. And this occurred in Ramadan or in ربيع الأول. The people of knowledge, they differed about the month that the revelation began. Many of the scholars from the past generations, they mentioned that the revelation began with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in ربيع الأول. And likewise on that same day, on the Monday, on Yawm al-Ithnain. And others, they mentioned rather it was in Ramadan. Rather, they mentioned that it was in Ramadan on Yawm al-Ithnain. And as for the days of that month, then they differed with regards to that, the actual day of the month. But Allah knows best. Ramadan is the most correct opinion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That the month of Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed. هدى للناس, guidance for mankind, and a clarification of the guidance and the criterion. And a criterion. And likewise, just before the age of 40, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it became dear to him to be alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to take provision from his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and he used to go spend nights, several nights in a row, in Ghar Hira, in the cave of Hira in Mecca. He would go up there in this mountain, and then he would spend several nights in a row in this small cave alone, pondering and reflecting over the creation and over life, and thinking about the situation of his people and how they worship stones and how they're on a bad path, and looking at life and pondering over this great creation. And this was something that became beloved to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned, hubbiba ilayhi al-khala, that it was made beloved to him that he would be alone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what he used to do. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go for several nights in a row, and he would be alone in Ghar Hira, in this mountain in Mecca. And it's mentioned likewise that this was in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, this is the time that he would go to seclusion the most, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this cave. And he would go there for several nights until his provision was gone. And then he would come back to Khadija, radiallahu anha. She would make more preparation for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would go again. And it's mentioned that this was also in Ramadan. So therefore, the month of Ramadan is whenever the revelation began, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. وَبَعْدَ عَامِ أَرْبَعِينَ أُرْسِلَ فِي يَوْمِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَقِينًا فَانْقُلَ فِي رَمَضَانَ أَوْ رَبِيِّ الْأَوَّلِ وَصُورَةُ اقْرَأْ أَوَّلُ مُنَزَّلِ. And the chapter of اقْرَأْ was the first to be revealed, meaning the first five verses of this chapter, Surah Al-Iqra, the chapter which means read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your Lord who has created. Khalaq al-insana min alaq, he created the human being from a blood clot, from a blood clot. This is from the first five verses of this noble chapter. This was the beginning of the revelation. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she has transmitted this story to us. And it's reported authentically, and in Bukhari and Muslim, this affair. And she mentioned that in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to see dreams. The beginning of the revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to see dreams, and they would come true just as he seen them. And it's known that the dreams of the prophets alayhi salatu wa sallam is revelation. So this was the beginning. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 40, right, just as he reached 40 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to see dreams. And those dreams would come true just precisely as he seen them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just before that, likewise, he had begun to prefer to be alone a lot and go and spend nights after nights in the cave, pondering and reflecting over this life and this creation. So this is how it occurred. And then one night, whenever he was in the cave, the angel Jibril came to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and squeezed him very hard. And he squeezed him very hard until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam could not take it anymore. And then he let him go and he said, Iqra. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ma ana biqari. The angel Jibril, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said to him, Iqra, read. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ma ana biqari, I don't know how to read. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was illiterate. He never knew how to read or write. He never learned how to read. He never learned how to write. And this was the way of many of the Arab in those days. They did not know how to read, nor did they know how to write, until the extent that they were known as the illiterate, the illiterate nation, that the majority of them could not read, nor could they write. But along with that, and because of that, they had very strong memories. Their memories were very strong, because they did not rely upon writing and upon books. Rather, they relied upon that which they memorized and that which they knew. So their memorizations were very strong, and this was from the wisdom behind that. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I cannot read. Ma ana biqari. So now Jibreel alayhi salam, he grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and squeezed him very hard until almost the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not take it anymore, and he let him go. And he said, Iqra, and read. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ma ana biqari, I don't know how to read. I can't read. Then he squeezed him again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so tight, and pressed him until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot take it anymore. And then he let him go and he said, Iqra, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma ana biqari." He said, "I'm not able to read." And then this happened three times. And then after the third time, he let the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go, and he said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam." In this manner, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this, he became very frightened. And he was scared, and he ran back to his home, back to Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And he says, "Zamiluni, Zamiluni, cover me up, cover me up." And he was very, very scared. And they comforted him until after some time, he mentioned what happened. And he said he's very frightened and very scared that something's going to happen to him. And she said, "No, no, no, nothing's going to happen to you, never. You're always the most honest and truthful, and you're kind to your parents and your relatives, and you keep good ties of relation with your family members, and you always help the poor, and you treat your guests so nice and generously, and you always help those who have hardships, meaning you're known for such good and noble manners. Allah, He will never disgrace you. You're somebody who does good." And after this, Khadija radiallahu anha, she took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And he was, in those days of ignorance, a Christian. He became a Christian, and he used to read the scriptures of the Christians in Hebrew. And he used to write the Injil that was revealed to Isa in Hebrew. And he was a very old man, and he became blind at this time because of his old age. And Khadija brought the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him, and she said, "Listen. Listen to what he has to say." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed Waraqa ibn Nawfal about that which he saw in the cave, and that which came to him and ordered him to read. And at this time, Waraqa became very amazed. He said, "Oh, this is the angel that was sent to Musa. This is the angel that was sent to Musa, the one who's carrying the secrets," meaning the one who's carrying the revelation. And he was very excited about this. And he said, "I wish that I would be young and strong, and I could live to the time whenever your people kick you out of your home." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "My people are going to kick me out of my home?" And Waraqa, he was like, "Yes, nobody receives the likes of what you have received, except he will meet great hostility and enmity from his people, from his people." So then after this, he said, "If I was alive on the day that they kick you out of your home, I would support you and I would help you in a great manner." And it wasn't long after that until Waraqa, he died. And then the revelation, it did not come again for several days. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, he was walking, and suddenly he heard a voice in the sky, and he looked up and he saw the same angel. He looked up and he saw the same angel who had come to him in the cave, and he got very, very scared, and he ran back home, and he said to them again, "Zamiluni, Zamiluni," fadatharuhu, and they put him in the garments and they covered him. And after that, it was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya ayyuhal muddathir, kum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa'tahir, wa rujza fa'hjur, wa la tamnun tastakthir, wa li rabbika fa'sbir, wa li rabbika fa'sbir." Allahu Akbar. And at this time, after this, the revelation started coming in consecutively, back to back, and until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here we see the people of knowledge. They mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nubi'a biqra wa ursila bil mudathir, that he received prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the verses iqra, and he received messengership sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the verses of ya ayyuhal mudathir, ya ayyuhal mudathir. This is the beginning of the revelation. He received prophet, and he became a prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 40. At the age of 40, when the angel Jibril, he came to him. Before this, there's no Quran, and there's no prophethood, and there's no sunnah. Before this, there's no revelation, there's no guidance. And it was at this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed to show mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And this is the beginning of that mercy. This is the beginning of that mercy. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the age of 40, he's in the cave, and Jibril, he came to him, and he told him, "Iqra," and he said, "Ma ana biqari." And then after this, it continued until the revelation came, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very afraid and scared, and he did not know what to think, and his wife Khadija comforted him. and assured him that there's something good from Allah and that Allah would never disgrace him or abandon him because of his nobility and his honesty and his truthfulness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his kindness to the people. And this is an indication that those who are truthful and those who are sincere and those who are kind to the people, Allah, he will help them and aid them. And he will be nice and kind to them likewise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are truthful with Allah, Allah is truthful with them. And those who aid the religion of Allah in their life, then Allah will aid them and support them in their life and in their death. In their life and in their death. And it was just after this briefly that the revelation came again, this time with Mudathir. And he was ordered at this time to call the people. Yani to stand up and warn, to warn the people in general. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to warn the people and to call to al-Islam privately. Privately for 3 years. He began to warn the people privately for 3 years. Meaning only calling the people that's close to him, that's around him. He didn't proclaim to mankind until all of his people that he received prophethood. And that he received messengership. And that he was receiving revelation from the Lord of the worlds. And that he's a messenger for all of mankind. He didn't inform all of the people outwardly in the beginning. Rather, he started talking to individuals that he knew. And the first to accept Islam was a woman, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha, the first man to accept Islam and to follow and aid the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abi Quhafa. Who's that? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And the first young boy to accept Islam was Abu Turab. Who's that? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And the first freed slave to accept Islam was Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha, Mawla Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very close to the Prophet from his best friends. And he was the first of the freed slaves to accept that Islam, Zayd ibn Haritha. And the Prophet loved him dearly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu. And the first slave to accept that Islam, Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu. And the call began silently and privately. And the people started entering into Islam little by little. From this tribe and from that tribe. They're all from Quraysh, but they're different families. Different sub-tribes amongst them. Some of them are accepting here and accepting here. And there was a man, his name is Arqam ibn Abi Arqam. And he had a house and a home. And he was not from the closest of the people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he accepted Islam too. And then they started going to his house in private when nobody is watching and nobody is looking. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching them about Islam and teaching them about the revelation that was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no one even knew that they were there. And they never even thought or even suspected that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be in Arqam's house, because he's like a young man and he's not from the big elderly people and the likes like this. But they're hiding there, calling the people and teaching them. So we see now the author, he says, ثم الوضوء والصلاة علم جبريل وهي ركعتان محكما. That after that, the wudu and the salat, Jibreel, after that Jibreel, he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the wudu and the salat. And this has been narrated from Zayd ibn Haritha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Jibreel atahu fi أول ما أوحي إليه فعلمه الوضوء والصلاة. That Jibreel, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very beginning, whenever the revelation first started, and he taught him how to make wudu and how to make salat. And this is something that is known, that Jibreel alayhi salam, he used to descend upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Quran, and likewise he used to descend upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sunnah. So the Sunnah is revelation, just like the Quran is revelation. And the laws and the limits and the halal and the haram and the obligations and that which is a commandment and that which is considered a prohibition and not allowed, that is found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is revelation that is revealed. And the detailed clarification of the Quran that has come in the Sunnah is all revelation that will be revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah, he says, وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. And he, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from his desires. Rather, it's only a revelation revealed. So Jibreel, he would descend unto the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sometimes with revelation of the verses of Allah, of the speech of Allah, of the Quran, and other times he would descend and reveal and teach him some of the laws and the limits and the clarification and interpretation of those verses and how to apply them. And from that, the wudu, and from that, the salah. And likewise, later on, whenever the salah became obligatory, Jibreel, he descended again and taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the precise times of the obligatory prayers. Inshallah, we'll see some of the details of that. So this is something that we see here. In the beginning, this prayer here was taught to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's only 2 rak'ah. This is in the very beginning of the revelation, before the obligation of salah, before the obligation of the 5 daily prayers. But this is something that was upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of the messengers and prophets, they all made salah, and they all prayed, and they all put their trust and reliance and faith in Allah, and called on him and invoked him. And Jibreel, he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam these great rites and actions of worship, the wudu and the purification, how to purify one's body and one's soul and one's heart and one's clothing, and likewise how to establish the prayer. And then the author, he says, ثُمَّ مَلَّتْ 20 يَوْمًا كَامِلًا فَرَمَتْ الْجِنَّ نُجُومٌ هَائِلًا. And then after that, 24 days had passed by, and these frightening stones, shooting stars, they began pelting and striking the jinn. And this is in reference to the events of the heaven. And before the coming of prophethood, the shooting stars, the falling stars, they would be seen in the sky sometimes, but not that often. But after the coming of prophethood, the shuhub, they will be in the sky abundantly, and they started being seen. And even one night it was seen in Quraysh, they all seen the falling stars, the shooting stars in the sky, and they were amazed at how many they were. And this is the event that is being referred to, and this is an indication of the coming of prophethood. And it's mentioned that the jinn, they used to be able to go into the heights of the heavens, and they had stations or places that they would sit and that they would wait and hide and listen to the statements and the events that are happening amongst the angels, and that which is the angels are speaking about, and they would listen to that, and they would come back and inform some of the people of mankind. So with regards to the coming of prophethood, the Jews, they knew about that, and likewise the Christians, they knew about that, and likewise the Kuhan from the Arab also, they knew about that. The Yahud, the Jews, they were aware of the coming of a new prophet, and they're waiting. And likewise, the Christians, they're aware of the coming of a new prophet, and they're waiting, because this was mentioned in their books, and they knew that there is another prophet that's coming after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But they didn't know who he was, and they didn't know from which lineage he's coming from. And likewise, the fortune tellers as well, they knew of the coming of a new prophet. And this is because they used to receive information from the devils, from the jinn, from the shayateen, who would go into the heavens, and they would listen to the statements, they would listen to the conversation, the affairs that the angels, they would be speaking about in the highest heavens, in the highest heavens. But after the coming of prophethood, now those gates and those avenues were closed, and the heavens were filled with guardian angels who were protecting from any devil or any jinn who's coming to listen. And they would cast at them flaming stones and flaming fires. And this is what is being referred to here. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in his book, وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدَنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمَعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. But as for now, that whenever someone tries to listen from those jinn, they'll find a blazing flame, a shooting flame that will come after them and strike them and turn them away. And this was an indication of the revelation and protection of the revelation that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would reveal to Jibreel, and Jibreel would descend with it upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now the heavens, they are guarded. And from the signs indicating that were these great shooting stars that were seen in the sky, that were seen in the sky after the coming of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was about 3 years occurring in this manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling the people privately and secretly. ثُمَّ دَأَى فِي رَابِعِ الْعَوَامِ بِالْأَمْرِ جَهْرَةً إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. And then in the 4th year, it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ, that you must openly call to that which you have been commanded, and turn away from the pagans and polytheists. And at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to call the people publicly and out loud and openly, declaring that he's the messenger of Allah, that he is coming with great guidance and a great message, and likewise a warning for mankind, for those who turn away. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ma zad al-Nabi mustakhiyan hatta nazalat fasda' bima tu'mar." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continued in hiding in his da'wah until it was revealed to him, then you must call openly and publicly that which you have been commanded. And at this time, after that, kharaja huwa wa ashabuhu. And at this time, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, now the Prophet, he came out of hiding, calling publicly, and likewise his companions radiallahu anhum. And also from the first of those to accept Islam and to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to hold fast to his way, and to have great wisdom and understanding of the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even till he resembled him the most from the companions, it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the one who's narrating this narration. So after 3 years, in the fourth year, now the call became open, and no doubt at this time, whenever the call became public, now the enmity began and the hostility began, and his tribesmen and his family members, who knew he was the most honest and trustworthy and reliable, now they began to dislike him, and they began to belie him and to deny him and to lie on him and talk bad about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the hardships, they begin, and the call to al-Islam. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.